Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope that you're having a great morning. And this is a special, special day as we remember this is the day, or tonight, where Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. And he said, I desire to do that before I suffer. And that was a special, special time for him. The Gospel of John has so much to tell us about that last night. You know, Jesus was betrayed by Judas. And Jesus told the guys, it's the one whom I dip the morsel and give it to him. And they still didn't realize that Judas was the betrayer. But so much that we can read in the Gospel of John, starting in John 13, that tell us what happened that special, special night as it culminated in his arrest and then his trial and then his crucifixion as we focus tomorrow on Good Friday and then get ready for Easter Sunday. Well, today is a special day for us at Real Truth for Today, as my friend Bishop E.W. Jackson, Marine Corps veteran, Harvard lawyer, candidate for president, author, and his newest book is entitled Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves, and the founder of Staying True to America's National Destiny, is with us. Bishop, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I appreciate you so much. Okay, so Bishop, we have lots that people are talking about today. We're calling this program Hot Takes with Bishop E.W. Jackson because I know that you have thoughts and opinions on a lot of things taking place. Let's talk about the issue that has been in the news with this God Bless the USA Bible. You know, Lee Greenwood has partnered, or paid Donald Trump to be a spokesman for this new Bible. It's the King James Bible plus the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Pledge of Allegiance, and the Declaration of Independence. Now, people have been really going to town on this. You know, how dare Donald Trump do this? It's all a political ploy, and he's using the Bible, and he's trying to make money off the Bible. What do you say about the Lee Greenwood God Bless the USA Bible?
I can't wait to get one. I think it's great. I think it's great, Pastor Jeff. Look, we live in a nation that's got freedom of religion in the First Amendment and freedom of speech. And, you know, I talked on my own podcast about the firing of Ronna McDaniel. We're dealing with people who really just do not believe in those fundamental principles. Donald Trump has a right to sell whatever he wants to sell. And people have a right to say, I don't agree with him. I'm not going to buy it. Or as I do, I'm thinking, man, that sounds like a great version, you know, a great editing of the Bible. I mean, they're not changing what the Bible says, but they're adding some things to it that I think are very relevant because I really believe we are a Judeo-Christian nation rooted and grounded in biblical principles. So I completely support what he's doing. And look, we live in a country of free enterprise. If he makes money doing it, everybody who sells Bibles makes money doing it, right? Right. You go buy a Bible, somebody has got to make a profit in order to keep the business going that is printing those Bibles. So I think it's really a demonstration of their hatred, not only of Donald Trump and not only of Christianity, because I really believe, Pastor Jeff, there is an ongoing and growing anti-Christian hatred and bigotry in this country that is lodged in the left and the Democrat Party that is just absolutely toxic. So it's that too, but it's also just in opposition to real freedom. They just don't like it because they want to shut down the people who don't agree with them rather than let's just have a free open debate, let the American people hear all sides and decide what they really believe.
Well, let me ask you this, Bishop. Your organization, you founded Staying True to America's National Destiny, and people have been using this term Christian nationalist as a pejorative, and if they can, you know, who knows what that means? It means a whole spectrum of things, but obviously we're Christians, and we want the principles of Christianity to influence America and permeate through America. how do you handle the criticism that may come at you and say, okay, well, Bishop, what does that mean, staying true to America's national destiny? What is America's national destiny?
Well, let's be clear on what they are implying. They're really implying that we're Nazis. That's really what they're getting at. That's why they associate Donald Trump with Adolf Hitler. That's really what they're getting at, that we're engaged in some kind of unholy and hateful nationalism that is racist and xenophobic. That's really what they're trying to say. But look, this is my position on it. First of all, there's nothing wrong with nationalism in this sense, that we owe our first responsibility and duty to our own country. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a very healthy way to approach life, in the same way you owe your first responsibility to your own home and family. And if you say to me, look, I got to put my family first, I don't say, well, Jeff, do you hate me? I mean, how could you say such a thing? I mean, because that's silly. Of course we have a responsibility first to our own country. There's nothing wrong with a healthy nationalism. We as Christians don't hate anybody. We don't hate foreigners. We don't hate people based on the color of their skin. We don't hate anybody. We love people. We want the very best for them because that's the way God feels about them. But we do hate lies and we hate falsehood. And really what they're trying to do is to silence us so that people will not hear us because we are marginalized and we are discredited. And they can say, don't listen to those people because they're Christian nationalists, like you say, whatever that means. Now, let me just respond quickly to this aspect of it. I love my country, and I don't apologize for that in any way. And as I've explained many times, my patriotism is born of my absolute faith that America is not a matter of political happenstance, that we are a providential nation ordained by Almighty God, that your presence here, my presence here, was ordained by Almighty God. And therefore, we have a stewardship responsibility of the wonderful nation that God has given us. And that is healthy and appropriate Christian patriotism. I don't worship America. I worship God, but I love my country as a gift from God. And when I stand before God, ultimately, I want to be able to say, Lord, I did everything to make sure that my country would be a nation whose God is the Lord.
Amen. Okay, how, Bishop, your take on, you know, Donald Trump is obviously one of the most hated men, I think, who has ever lived. The left hates him with such a passion and really trying to shame anyone who would dare think about voting for him. And, you know, you're an awful, horrible person if you would even consider that. What would you say to Christians who are getting caught up in that and saying, well, maybe it is wrong to vote for him. Maybe he is this terrible, horrible person. And it's, you know, how do you vote for Joe Biden? I mean, I would vote for a 3-year-old over voting for him. But how do you help Christians, or what would you say to Christians who may be struggling because all of the baggage that he brings to the table?
Well, you know, there's an old saying that we are known by the company we keep. We're also known by the enemies we make. And I would say to Christians, who is opposing Donald Trump? Who is after him? It is the cabal of godless people who are also after us. I mean, they're also after American Family Radio. They're after the American Family Association. They're after anybody who is espousing a biblical worldview. And while, you know, people debate about exactly where Donald Trump stands spiritually, there's no question that Donald Trump's policies are more in keeping with our worldview than they are with the less secular, atheist, Marxist worldview. And that's why they hate him. And so I really believe that wherever Donald Trump might be spiritually and whatever might be his spiritual deficits, and we all have them, by the way, God is using him. And we as Christians need to rally around that principle that God is using him to bless us. That doesn't mean he's perfect. That doesn't mean he's our Messiah. I said to my audience yesterday, you know, we are not Donald Trump conservatives. We are biblical worldview conservatives. And when Donald Trump is espousing policies and principles that are in agreement with our viewpoint, we should support him 100%. There may be moments when we'll disagree with him, and we should express that. But The left is out to destroy him, and they have to be out to destroy him because they don't like where he stands. Just so you know, for the record, I mean, I stand 100%, 1,000% with Donald Trump, because I really believe that America's hemorrhaging spiritually and economically and in terms of national security. And Donald Trump is poised, I think, to put a stop to that hemorrhaging. And I think every American who cares about this country ought to be supporting him. Amen. Certainly every Christian.
Well, I have said before, Bishop, all the accusations leveled against Trump, I mean, the left will, they do exactly what they accuse their opponents
yes.
of doing. And so whatever they're accusing the right of doing, you can just mark it down. That's what they're doing. And it's a tactic of Marxism and socialism.
And by the way, may I just say, too, this idea that Donald Trump is a threat to our democracy is one of the most preposterous ideas I've ever heard in my life. I don't not for one moment, I don't have a scintilla of doubt in my mind that Donald Trump loves this country, honors and respects our Constitution, cares about the American people, and is going to do what he believes is right. And after he serves 4 years as president, he is going to retire and do other things, just like every other president has. And this hysteria that they're trying to create, that mm-hmm. he's going to be a dictator, he wants to be Hitler. I mean, this stuff is apoplectic. I mean, it really borders on mental illness. It really does.
Okay, what's your opinion or your thoughts concerning who he will choose to be his running mate?
Well, oh boy, you know, that's I've been asked that question several times. And I'll tell you what I would like him to do, and what he'll do ultimately, I don't know. I doubt that he will fall into the trap of trying to be, you know, appropriately diverse and all of this. I think he's going to want to choose a running mate that he thinks A, will enhance his presidency, and B, will be ready to step in if he is unable to finish his term. My thought is he ought to be looking at some of these young guns who are solidly conservative, who love the country, have a demonstrated record of patriotism, and who could step in. Because I'll tell you what I'm concerned about, Jeff. I'm concerned about what happens when Donald Trump is no longer president. Because mm-hmm. we saw what happened after his first 4 years. I mean, he did magnificent things for this country, and Joe Biden came in and reversed them almost overnight. Mm-hmm. So we've really got to have longevity in this process, and we need someone to hand the baton to who can continue the policies that Donald Trump is going to implement. So that's the thinking I'd like him to be going through. I mean, I think of people like Tom Cotton and Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and some of these other younger people in the Senate, and there may be in other places as well, who I would hope he would be considering as he thinks about who the heir apparent should be after he has finished his term.
All right, Bishop, we have about a minute and a half before the break, but just real quick. So I was of the opinion that, I wish Trump would have passed the baton to Ron DeSantis and really supported him, since he is that younger gun. But boy, they really butted head. They're kind of two bulls. I can't see them ever working together in that capacity. But what was your take on Ron DeSantis?
It would be a great choice. It would be a great choice. I'll tell you, I have nothing but admiration for Ron DeSantis. And I know there's been a lot of differences over that, but I think Ron DeSantis is a great man, and I think he's got a great future in this country.
Well, we're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, Hot Takes with Bishop E.W. Jackson. And E.W. is the founder of Stand, Staying True to America's National Destiny. He's a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard lawyer, author of the newest book, Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves. Bishop Jackson is going to be at First Baptist Texarkana in September. We're looking forward to that, Bishop. And I hope you bring a lot of books, because I think people will want to get a copy of that. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're up against a break, but we'll be right back with more Bishop E.W. Jackson. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, Hot Takes with Bishop E.W. Jackson. And it's always a wonderful experience to talk to the bishop. I just love his insight on things and his take on things. And so, Bishop, let me ask you about this. Big news. So the Francis Scott Key Bridge there in Baltimore that was hit at 1:30 in the morning by the big cargo ship that lost power. Conspiracy theories are abounding that maybe this was more than just an accident. What say you?
Yeah, I'm not one to traffic in conspiracy theories. And when these things happen, I always say, you know, let's try to wait for the facts and see exactly what caused this. I mean, there may be some criminal liability here involved. I will say this. When you have these administrations, as in Baltimore, that seem much more interested in advancing their ideological agenda than they are in actually taking care of providing for the safety and security of their people. You know, Baltimore is one of the most violent cities in this country. These are the kinds of things, in my view, that happen because the things that they should be attending to, they don't attend to, and they're always attending to all these esoteric ideas that really are intended to solidify their power and basically indoctrinate people with their agenda. So they need to get back to basics, making Baltimore a livable place for all of its citizens and making sure that their safety and security is looked after. And then I would say to everybody else, let's wait and see what the facts say about exactly what has happened here. By the way, we are living in a time of great evil. The Bible says, redeem the time for the days are evil. Mm-hmm. So I am never shocked anymore by any evil device, idea, attitude, action that people come up with these days. So I don't discount any suspicion that people might have about what's happened, but I like to wait to see what the facts tell us.
Very good. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. Talk about Robert Kennedy Jr. just announced his running mate, Silicon Valley attorney Nicole Shanahan. And, you know, Kennedy is going to be a third party candidate in the presidential race. Your thoughts on his candidacy and then this choice for VP?
Well, first of all, I am so glad that he's running. And I hope that there are a whole bunch of people who were intending to vote for Joe Biden who end up voting for RFK to make the Donald Trump win that much easier. RFK is an interesting guy. RFK Jr. is an interesting guy because I read his book on Anthony Fauci, and I think it was a fascinating book and right on target. But, you know, they say even a broken clock tells the right time once a day. He is a far leftist, and the American people should understand the direction. In fact, the running mate he's chosen is somebody who has invested tens of millions of dollars in far left radical causes. So this is not anybody who should ever get anywhere near the White House. But I'm glad he's there to just kind of tweak Joe Biden and maybe pull some votes away from him and make it even more likely that he will be defeated in his quest for a second term.
And you don't think, Bishop, that his presence there would pull votes from the right?
If people are informed about where he stands, I don't see it. Now, I've been told that some libertarians might be inclined to vote for him. But, I mean, he is a big climate change person. This guy has some really far left ideas when you get beyond. I mean, I give him credit. He has been a tremendous advocate for the American people, getting more information about vaccines and about the way the medical industry works and the pharmaceutical industry works. And I give him credit for that. But I wouldn't turn the I can't believe that any libertarian minded or certainly any conservative minded and certainly any Christian would get anywhere near him or voting for him. So if people are really informed about who he is in his totality, I can't see people who might be inclined to vote for Trump. Well, you know what? I think I'll go over here and vote for him. That to me is unthinkable.
Amen. Yeah, I can't imagine that either. Bishop, I've stated and to the church and to the radio audience here at American Family Radio. You look at the issue of abortion. Now, people say, oh, don't be a one-issue voter. But when you're talking about abortion and the millions of lives that are brutally killed every year through abortion and now through this this RU486 pill that's up at on Supreme Court, being argued at the Supreme Court right now, how do you view that when somebody says, well, you can't be a one-issue voter, so you got to level the playing field. Abortion is just one issue among many.
Well, that's like saying you can't just focus on whether or not you can breathe. There are a lot of other things to think about. Yeah, well, if you can't breathe, there's nothing else to think about. And so to me, life is fundamental. If you don't get that right, why in the world would I trust you with anything else? Mm-hmm. And you are right. Look, it's interesting. I got a call from called a friend yesterday, and we were talking about other issues. And he said, you know, I've had this thought, and it dovetailed perfectly with something I've been saying. Even the word abortion is a sanitizing word. What we are doing is killing unborn babies. We are killing them. It is a horrible sin. And again, to me, it's fundamental. Deuteronomy 30:19, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, that you and your descendants, so you and your seed may live. And God says, when I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So to me, if you don't get that issue right, and you know my position, Pastor Jeff, look, I am a life absolutist in this sense. I say that there's only one circumstance in which I can even see the killing of an unborn baby or the ending of that unborn baby's life is where the one, either the baby or the mother may die, like it's an ectopic pregnancy, that kind of thing.
Right.
But everything else, the baby is innocent, and mm-hmm. God has a plan for that child. And we should not dare to step in and play God and end that child's life out of some sense of convenience. Or, you know, that's the same thing that the idolaters did in ancient days when they sacrificed their children in order to get a better crop or in order to have a better mm-hmm. future. And they put their children on the altar of Molech and mm-hmm. burned the child alive. I mean, this to me is akin to that, because people are sacrificing children so that they think it's going to make their lives better, and then bragging about it and taking glory and pride in it. I mean, this is abominable. And so I've said, if I know that a candidate is not pro-life, I don't care what their stands are on other issues, I'm not voting for that person.
Amen.
Period.
Amen. That's exactly how I feel. All right, let's talk about squatters. We're hearing a lot about squatters, especially in New York City. New York City, which is such an upside-down area in the whole state of New York. Ron DeSantis in Florida has made it clear you're not going to do that in Florida. And he is protecting the homeowner, not the squatter. How do you view that, what we're hearing, the stories coming out of New York?
Well, and this is apparently spreading across the country now as people on the left are getting a hold of this and realizing they are able to do something that they want to do anyway, which is undermine the sanctity of private property. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't like the concept of ownership of private property, because what they really want is control of the government, and they want the government, therefore, to be able to control everything and everybody so that mm-hmm. all property belongs to them. I mean, so to me, this is just one more step in that direction. This is another iteration of the shoplifting movement that we see, where mm-hmm. you can go in and steal $950 worth of goods. As long as you don't go past $1,000, it's a misdemeanor, no problem. Take the stuff, go on about your way. What that means is we don't value private property, and we don't defend the right to private property any longer. We got to snuff this thing out. This is pure Marxism, and that's what it's intending to undermine. And all I can say on a personal note is, I hope I never have to confront anything like that, Pastor Jeff, because you know, somebody living in a house that God has blessed me to buy and pay for, and then telling me that I have to go, that they don't have to go, that's a bridge too far. You know? So I just say to people, we need to get these laws straightened out so that we honor the private property rights of our citizens, and don't give people who don't have a right to be in somebody's property any right to stay there not a minute longer than the owner says out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just crazy. You probably saw the video where the homeowner was arrested and the squatters were allowed to stay because she had the audacity, I think, to change the locks. And you can't do that on the squatters. It's just such an upside-down world. You know, Isaiah 5:20 comes into play almost every day in America.
Yes.
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And that's what we're doing. And it's hard to live in a world where wrong is right and right is wrong.
Look, by the way, I think trying to take Donald Trump's property is, again, part of this. There is a movement in our country of Marxism that says somehow ownership of property is a bad thing. By the way, when I practiced law in Boston, I represented landlords, and I can remember cases in which I would go before rent control boards, and it struck me. I was a young lawyer, brand new to the practice, but I realized something. These people actually hate property owners. They hate them. They're evil people. They're bad people. By virtue of owning property makes you a bad person. And that spirit has continued to grow in our country. And again, I think it's really going to take someone like Donald Trump to at the very least halt it and all of us standing up against it in order to bring it to an end.
Well, with the left, Bishop, you just have such gross hypocrisy. So even the border situation, Obama and all the fat cats on the left, they all live behind gates. And then they don't want America to have a gate. Try and explain that lunacy.
Well, you know, before the Bolsheviks took over, they ran around Russia saying all of these wealthy people and they're driving Rolls Royces and they're living in mansions and the rest of us are struggling. And when the communists took over, guess what the communist leaders did? They took the mansions and they took the Rolls Royces and in other words, they really just appropriated all of that property for themselves. It was complete hypocrisy. It was never about those people owning. It wasn't about private property in general. It was about they wanted. It was envy. It was jealousy. Mm-hmm. They wanted it for themselves. And the same is true here. All these leftists who are espousing all these ideas, you know, they really believe that they're going to be exempt. When the revolution comes, I'll still have my mansion. I'll still fly around in my private airplane because I'm different, as John Kerry said. People like me, you know, have a different set of needs than other people. But you're right. It is complete hypocrisy, and their hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Well, Debbie and I listened on YouTube. The book Animal Farm is a short read from George Orwell, and a great allegory of what is taking place, how communism works, and how the revolution takes place. I encourage our readers to go to YouTube and listen to that. And the next time you're in the car for, I think it's 3 hours. But man, he hit the nail on the head. And the ones taking over the animal farm, they just did what what those that they pushed out of power did, and it's just a shocking hypocrisy. But that's what takes place. Okay, Bishop, I sent you an article from Todd Starnes about this Houston Middle School near Memphis, Tennessee, that they were celebrating and hosting a Ramadan party for teachers and staff that included anti-Israel propaganda. What in the world is that?
Well, look, I think on a spiritual level, and the people doing this probably are not conscious of it, but they are imbued with the spirit of Satan. They are imbued with demonic influence, and they don't realize it, but that spirit inspires them to hate Jews and to hate Christians. So you see, we're not anti-religious. We just hate Christians and Jews. Islam is great. Yeah, let's celebrate Islam. Not to mention, Islam has a history of brutality and conquest and genocide. and enslavement of people. In fact, it was the Muslims who started the African slave trade. It wasn't Europeans who started it. It was the Muslims who started it in North Africa, going down into sub-Saharan Africa and getting the dark-skinned slaves, dark-skinned people, and turning them into lifetime slaves. They even came up with a word, abed, I believe it is, that means both black and slave. So, but the world, Jesus said, hates you because it hated me first. And we Jews and Christians are covenant people of Almighty God. And on a spiritual level, the world hates us. Islam comes from an entirely different place, worshiping an idol God, this Allah that they have that Muhammad concocted. And that's okay. We can celebrate that. We can ignore the terrorism. We can ignore the chaos that's happening. We can ignore the oppression that's happening in these Sharia-governed countries. All of that is irrelevant, but we can celebrate Islam. But if you bring up Christianity, oh my goodness, there's a constitutional crisis in the making. And you gotta, we've gotta consult and meet and talk, because after all, we all know that Christianity is offensive.
It's just sickening. Well, we're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, Hot Takes with Bishop E.W. Jackson. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question for the bishop, we would love to field that question. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I do want to encourage you, as we are talking about what's going on at Houston Middle School near Memphis, Tennessee, and celebrating Ramadan for teachers and staff, anti-Israeli propaganda. From a friend of mine, she wrote this, she's Jewish, "Nothing broke our Jewish hearts more than the absence of understanding and empathy from the people we thought were our friends." Hey, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It matters. We'll be right back. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Bible.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, Hot Takes with Bishop E.W. Jackson. And I just wanted to remind you of his newest book, Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves. Bishop, where can our listeners get a copy of the book?
First of all, they can get it wherever books are sold. They can also get it from our publisher, which is Fidelis, and the website is faithfultext.com. They can get a 15% discount from our publisher. And Jeff, if they want to sign up as a Patriot partner for Stan for $25 a month, I'll send them a book for free, signed and numbered out of the author's stash, I like to say. So they can get it, but wherever books are sold, they can get the book.
Good. Have you been pleased with how things have been going with the book?
Absolutely. You know, it's difficult as a Christian conservative to break through the mainstream media, but everywhere I've gone, the books have just sold like hotcakes. And I've gotten tremendous feedback on when people have read the book. They've really enjoyed it, found it to be a good read, very interesting. And so yeah, I'm very pleased with what God is doing with it, even in spite of the obstacles that all of us face now. Thank God for American Family Radio, that all of us face in trying to break through to the people of our country, because the mainstream media simply does not want that.
That's for sure. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Larry on the line from Virginia. Larry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Bishop Jackson.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
My answer would be for you to run for vice president and solve all kind of miracles, because I know you ran for president. I don't know why you didn't get on the ballot, but that's my suggestion, and God would take care of everything.
Well, listen, Larry, I'm always honored when people make those kinds of suggestions. Very simply, why I did not get on the ballot and did not, I ran for 6 months and had to drop out because, frankly, I got completely boycotted by the media. I mean, they wouldn't acknowledge my candidacy at all. And that included the Republican National Committee. They never acknowledged me as a Republican candidate. So it was very difficult to raise the money that you needed to raise when people don't even know you're running. But it was still worth it because I met some great people and had some great experiences and learned some things that are going to be with me for the rest of my life. But thank you, Larry.
Well, Bishop, as you know, you're the wrong kind of black guy.
Right, exactly.
I mean, they've basically said that, you know, if you can have a black face, but if you don't have a black voice, just sit down and shut up.
Well, you know, Jeff, I always say you haven't lived until you've been called a black white supremacist. So,
yeah,
you know, that's the kind of thing we have to deal with. And, you know, but look, it's the real issue, of course, is that we're Christians. We love God, and they cannot stand that because they're of a different spirit.
Yeah, but very good. All right, thanks, Larry. Thanks for calling in. We have Carmen on the line from Louisiana. Carmen, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Carmen.
Good morning. It's so good to hear your voice again, Bishop Jackson. I miss you.
Thank you.
And I was going to vote for you for president.
Thank you, Carmen.
And listen, I have my own little motto I live by now. I love my Lord, Jesus Christ, enough to die for him. But I love my country, America, enough to fight. And if Christians do not stand up and sound their voice to fight for our country, we're going to lose it.
Well, Carmen, first of all, thank you. I appreciate your vote of confidence. You are absolutely right. Pastor Jeff, I don't see any hope for America if Christians don't step up, because we are the repositories of truth. Truth comes from God's word. And if we don't proclaim it, who's going to? And without truth, if Jesus said the truth makes you free, well, then lies put you in bondage. And that's where we're headed unless the truth wins out. And by the way, I do believe it will.
Well, Bishop, how do you view what's going on in churches across the country? You know, we have a good number of pastors. We need more, but that are standing up for truth. And then it seems a bunch more that just don't want to be controversial, or this is going, you know, maybe this would affect our popularity, or people would quit coming, or whatever. How do you view things in your travels? Are churches just grossly silent, or are more of them getting on board?
Well, look, according to George Barna, only 25% of the churches in America even believe that the Bible is the Word of God anymore. So that tells you a lot right there. And then he, according to his polls, only 10% of those who believe it are willing to step out and say it for fear of offending some of their members, or, you know, just creating controversy. So that leaves us with only 10% of the 25% that are actually outspoken. But, you know, I remind you, the word of God, God said to the children of Israel, unless the Lord had left to us a very small remnant, We would have been like Sodom. We would have become like Gomorrah. So that tells me God doesn't need a majority. What he needs is a remnant that is willing to stand up and be the salt and light that he's called us to be, and to be the leaven that he's called us to be, and we can leaven the whole loaf. So that's what I'm believing for, an awakening in America caused by the Christians who are willing to stand up and proclaim the truth without apology and without compromise. And the Spirit of God just moves on that and gives us a tremendous revival in our country that turns things around.
Amen. You know, I'm reminded about when Abraham was talking to the Lord about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, the Lord said, if I find 10 righteous, I won't destroy the city. And there are way more than 10 righteous in America. And so the Christians can make a huge difference if we would just see, hey, if we stand up, we speak the truth in love, we get our lives right with the Lord. You know, if we're not going to live right, then we have no platform to speak to anybody. We just become another hypocrite. But if as we get right, you know, people try to discount 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's still in the book. We are God's people. and if God's people get right and pray, he promises to heal the land and forgive the sin. And so I'm with you on that, Bishop. We need to encourage Christians. It's not going to be popular. Jesus wasn't popular. They nailed him to a tree. And so when he spoke the truth in love, they didn't like it.
And that's our cross. And he said, pick up your cross and follow me. That's our cross. Our cross is to stand up for him no matter what. I mean, you know, the current of the culture is moving in the opposite direction. And we as Christians can either go along to get along, or we can swim upstream. And, you know, as I heard one preacher say, that any dead fish can go with the current, but it takes a live salmon to swim upstream. So we're the live salmon swimming upstream. And ultimately, again, I really believe we're going to prevail because God, I think, providentially established the United States of America using our founding fathers to do it. And the Bible says in Romans 11:29, the gifts and the calling of God are without revocation. I think as long as we are willing to stand up, God is going to stand with us.
Amen. Well, thank you, Carmen, for calling in. We have Shirley on the line from Tennessee. Shirley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
I just want to let the bishop know we love him. I love him. I was going to vote for him for president, and I'm hoping he gets the position back again on AFR. And my hope is if there are 300 million Americans, then that means 30 million, 10% according to Barna, are actually doing what they should need to do. And that's enough to vote out anybody. But I'll tell you that my fear is that the virgins are sleeping, and things that we could have done, like, you know, the Republicans and Democrats not allowing Bishop, you know, even the platform, that really disturbed me. And it made me think that once again, the system is rigged, and that they choose who they want to be up there. And then we have to vote for who they choose. And so my prayer is that Jesus, he's our king, and that he'll come back soon. And I just look forward to, like you said, winning in the end.
Amen. Look, it is definitely rigged, Shirley. There is no question about that. And look, I don't mind saying, I still haven't really made a final decision. I've been a Republican now for 40 years, maybe a little bit more than that. I really question whether I was going to remain a Republican. I'm never going to become a Democrat, of course. But I thought, only because I see the people who actually run the party, the establishment of the party, they're really no more godly than the Democrats, because it's all about power. But there are some wonderful Republicans, don't get me wrong, and that's one of the reasons why I hesitate, because I know some people in the party who are just wonderful Christians who really are dedicated to doing God's will. And so I struggle. I don't want to abandon them, but the party itself, I don't have any confidence in the establishment of the Republican Party at all. I mean, Ron McDaniel last year sent out a communique saying, you know, we all ought to be celebrating Gay Pride Month. I mean, completely contrary to the platform. So, but you're right, it is rigged, and they did not want me there. And believe me, that became clear right off the bat.
Well, Bishop, it seems to me that, you know, Trump had the slogan, drain the swamp. The swamp is so much deeper than anybody could comprehend in 2016. What's your take on that? It seems like the swamp is has no bottom to it.
Well, you know, I think if there was any swamp anywhere around Eden, Satan crawled out of it. And, you know, we're really talking about demonic forces. I mean, demonic forces that are engaged in all kinds of stuff behind the scenes. With they're perverting our criminal justice system. They're trying to use climate in order to gain power over people. They're corrupting our whole system of freedom of speech and freedom of religion and turning it, you know, you and I now represent hate speech. You know, we're saying, we quote the Bible, that's hate speech. Apparently you can say almost anything else, but what we say is hate speech. You got intelligence agents. You got the head of United Airlines saying that being a drag queen helps them do their job. I mean, we are living in some truly bizarre times where very powerful people are caught up in some really wicked, twisted stuff. That's why the weapons of our warfare can't be carnal, ultimately. They've got to be spiritual because we're in a spiritual battle.
That's exactly right. Very well said. Well, thanks, Shirley, for calling in. We have Melissa on the line from Mississippi. Melissa, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Melissa.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. It's an honor to get to speak with y'all this morning. And I just have a quick comment for Bishop Jackson. Well, first of all, I commend you for getting your name out there for the presidency. Secondly, I just want to say that all of those listening, all of your listeners, that we should all write letters or contact the Republican National Committee about the boycott, and just, you know, recommend that they reevaluate that. So that's my comment. And I thank you guys for all that you do and for spreading the word of our Lord and Savior, Master of our lives, which is Jesus Christ, my Lord. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Melissa. I appreciate that so much. Okay, Bishop, we have time for one more caller, and she expresses the sentiment that I have, and it has to do with voter integrity. So, Caroline from North Carolina, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi. Bless you both. I love you.
Thank you.
Just wanted to know, you know, what is in place or what is rolling out for us to keep the same mess from happening again? How do we get real, true votes to really, truly count accurately this time around, because we're running out of time?
Great question. What would you say, Bishop?
It is a great question. And I'll tell you, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. We've got to be on this. I mean, and look, unfortunately, the Republican Party is not a machine. The Democrat Party is. They've even turned the federal government into part of that machine now, you know, with the way they're using the federal government to register voters. You sign up for welfare, you got to register to vote. They are a machine, and machines are inherently corrupt, because the whole point of the machine is to win, and it doesn't matter what it takes. And because there's so many Christians in the Republican Party, we have standards, we have integrity, we have honor, and we don't want to do things that we know are in violation of God's word. And so we're sort of on the back foot on this. So we've just got to be absolutely steadfast. Look, I support paper ballots counted by machines and an end of all this computerized garbage.
Amen.
That people can use to cheat.
Amen. I totally agree with that. Well, thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. Bishop, thank you so much for being my guest. How can the listeners get in touch with you?
Go to standamerica.us. We got a Stand Awards dinner coming up on June the 11th. Find out more about that. Thank you, Jeff, for the opportunity.
Thank you, my brother. Well, let me encourage you this Easter to watch again The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's great movie, The Passion of the Christ, because it just reminds you of the sacrifice that Jesus made to purchase your salvation, as we think about the cross and then celebrate the empty tomb this weekend for Easter. Well, God bless you. Go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness.
The The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.